my third study of the characters of the Gospels. If you turn to your sheets again, we'll briefly review to get us caught up. At least I had like three or four more points, a couple points I'm going to make on that. We talked last time, for those who weren't here, we covered some of the more minor characters of the story of Jesus' birth and John the Baptist's birth. And then now we're in this timeline of Jesus' birth until his baptism. So if you're ever confused about how those things happen, what order when Jesus was born and so forth. So we talked about, to start the timeline, that we had the announcement to Zacharias of John the Baptist's birth. That's our starting place. We won't go back at those verses right now. 6 months later, we had the announcement to Mary. And Mary also goes to visit Elizabeth, who, of course, it's 6 months later, so she's 6 months pregnant. 3 months after that, we're told that she stayed there for about 3 months. And Mary returns back to her hometown of Nazareth. Of course, she's showing now from pregnancy. She's about 3 months pregnant. It's this time that Joseph sees her, decides he's going to put her away privately, but has this announcement from an angel to not be fearful about taking Mary as his wife. Of course, it's been 3 months later, so we had the birth of John the Baptist during this time. Then this decree of the census comes out that everyone's to go back to their area of birth to be counted. This is for taxation purposes later. So they make their journey there. If you go to your map, again, they're in Nazareth starting off. They are having to travel to Bethlehem, which is about 70 miles south of that. Of course, Mary is with child for this journey. They get there sometime later. Of course, the town is full. The census is going on. There's no place to stay. The inn's full. So they have to stay in a stable. We have the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. The same evening, we have the announcement to the shepherds from one of the angels. We know it's the same time frame because we know that Jesus was born in a manger and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and that's what the shepherds were told. Go, and this will be the sign. This is what you're going to look for, is a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. So we know he got there the same night. 8 days later, according to Jewish law, Jesus is named and circumcised. 32 days later, so for a total of 40 days, they have to travel to the temple in Jerusalem. So they're not in Bethlehem anymore, about 40 days later. And again, this is according to the Jewish laws and customs of purification, that Mary had to wait these some 40 days to be purified so that she can enter into the temple. At that time, we talked about Simeon and Anna's, who had been waiting patiently in this area to wanting to see this Christ child who had been promised. And they were able to do that. And they had this testimony they gave and blessings. Then we had the question, and let's turn over there to Luke chapter 2 and verse 39. Again, this is what I'll pick up for tonight. So again, they are in Jerusalem, not Bethlehem at this time, for this presentation in the temple. As we talked about last time, Luke skips a bunch of happenings. Kind of tells a summary. Let's begin in verse 39. When they had performed everything according... They just come out from this showing at the temple. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. Okay? As we mentioned last time, and Luke says they go back to the hometown of Nazareth, but you know, we don't have the visit of the wise men yet. He's not gone down to Egypt yet, and so it seems there's several things skipped. Notice in verse 40, while you're there, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Okay, so he grew during this time that Luke's talking about after they go back to Nazareth. We'll get back to that verse in just a minute and make that harmonize. The next page, we need to see that they had to go back to Bethlehem, or at least one of the areas there, following this presentation of the temple, and not Nazareth, as Luke says. Again, Luke just gives a summary. And again, we know this because we've skipped several things. The wise men's not visited, the flight to Egypt. Herod's not killed all the males 2 years and under yet. And so we know we're in Bethlehem because we're going to see that God warns them to leave and go to Egypt. Because Herod was told that this child would be born in Bethlehem, so that's where he's going to send for all these children to be killed in the surrounding areas. And we notice it could be Nazareth, because Nazareth is 70 miles away from Bethlehem. That's not even a surrounding area. Okay? So they're back in Bethlehem. We know it's been some time because it's been at least 40 days. They made this trek back 6 miles back to the Bethlehem area. And then we have the visitation of the wise men. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2 again. And notice it's been some time because where they're at, they're no longer in the stable. Begin at verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea. So this is where Herod thinks this child's going to be, Bethlehem. And they quote some scripture to him. Verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. Of course, they had to travel some time to get to Jerusalem. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring him me word that I too may come and worship him." And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house. So they're in a house now. They're no longer in the stable. They're in a house. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Where is he going to search at? Where does Herod think he is? Bethlehem, this area. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then we see in verses 16 through 18 what Herod does. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in where? Bethlehem. That's where he thinks they're at. So we know they were there. In all the region who were 2 years or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. And was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. Okay, so we don't know this time period. Remember, the wise men had to leave. They followed this star. They came to Jerusalem. Don't know the time period there. Then Herod sent them. They saw Christ. And then they left. Some time had passed because Herod had to figure out they're not coming back. He'd been tricked. So sometime after that, Herod slaughters the children. Then they go to Egypt. Then comes the return to Nazareth. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord, of course, there's some distance away. Of course, they have no communication, so that someone has to tell them that he's died. Appears to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, we talked about him, was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that it was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be a Nazarene. And so they're back in Nazareth. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 2. After this trek to Egypt and back, they're finally back in Nazareth, as Luke said. Verse 39, after they had been presented to the temple when he was 40 days old, when he performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And let's look at the difference here. So these two harmonize. Go over to verse 22 of Luke chapter 2. When the time, and notice the difference here, when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses. Okay, that was that 40-day period. And they had to go and present at the temple. This is that law of Moses. Then they went and did these things. Now go back over to verse 39. This is not the law of Moses here. This explains kind of why he did a summary. And when they performed everything according to the, not the law of Moses, but the law of the Lord. This is going to be all his other prophecies. The going to Egypt and all the other things have been fulfilled by the law of the Lord. Then they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Does that make sense? It's a summary of everything. Go down to verse 41. We're going to see Jesus is now at 12 years old. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Again, this is, they're in Nazareth now. And before they leave to go to death. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. Okay? And so we see he's age 12 here. When the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind. Of course, they couldn't find him for quite some time. Let's go down to verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He's 12 years old. He increases. And this verse 52 now harmonizes or parallels with verse 40 of Luke. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So it just proves again Luke is telling a summary of those things. Nothing is heard again until John the Baptist starts preaching and Jesus comes to him to be baptized. And we find him at age 30. Luke chapter 3 and verse 23. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. And it gives the list of his genealogy there. Okay? Questions about that? And that's where we're going to start tonight. We've done a timeline of Jesus' birth up to he was 30. We're going to start now with a timeline of John the Baptist. We're going to do a timeline of him from the beginning of his preaching. We've already covered his birth. We're not going to do that again. We're going to start here at this point where Jesus is 30. Have you ever put the Gospels together to see this time frame? Sometimes it's kind of confusing where John will see Jesus and say one thing about, you know, here's the Lord and so forth. He's baptized in one verse and somewhere else it doesn't mention the baptism and so forth. But we're going to put this in a time frame and try to put it all together. Note that John, the book of John, begins his gospel from eternity where the Word is found to coexist with God. Okay? In the beginning was the Word and so forth. Matthew begins with Jesus actually in human form, born in the days of Herod. We talked about that. Luke begins with the birth of John the Baptist. And the book of Mark begins with the ministry of John the Baptist. He's already grown. So there's a difference in where these time frames. We've got to piece all these books together. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And piece them together. And so we're going to do all that reading here. Let's start in Matthew chapter 3. Now, I may not get through all this tonight, but we're going to do it in order. Hopefully it'll make sense. This is where John begins preaching. And we'll read all accounts of all these together. Here he is in the wilderness of Judea and the banks of the Jordan. Matthew chapter 3, begin verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children from Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Mark chapter 1. And again, I'll have this stuff printed off for your future day to read these verses. Verse 1, Mark 1. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it was written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3. Begin at verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Tyre, and Trachonitis and Lysianus tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went to all the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of the Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Crooked shall become straight, rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. Back to Matthew chapter 3. Now we see Jesus going to be baptized. Begin at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered, let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. Who's the him here? Jesus. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him, Jesus. Behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So all the things said there, Jesus saw. We'll get John's later. Mark chapter 1. Verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open. Who saw it? Jesus. And the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Directly at him, you are my beloved Son. Luke chapter 3. Not that others aren't seeing this, as we'll see later. But these verses are directed at Jesus. Luke 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." After this, Jesus goes and he's tempted. Okay, he leaves. Then we see John's first testimony to Jesus. Turn to John chapter 1. Now this is in Bethany. That's where we're at. Beyond Jordan. We're in a different place now. Jesus is gone. He's been gone 40 days. He's been tempted. Sometime later, John's going to give his first testimony. Begin at verse 19. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." And they had sent from the Pharisees, they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered him, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So when all that happened, that was done for John's benefit as well. Now he knows this is the one. But it's sent in some time afterwards. Now, sometimes when we read this in certain accounts, it says John was then arrested and so forth. Well, again, just like Luke had skipped some parts, that skips some parts. A lot happens between this arrest. Jesus makes his first disciples after this. It's before John's arrest. Jesus' first miracle at the wedding in Cana happens. Jesus goes to Capernaum. Jesus attends Passover. Jesus cleanses the temple. These are all stories we're familiar with. Jesus talks to Nicodemus. We know that conversation. Jesus' first ministry happens in Judea. And then we're going to find John's second testimony of Jesus. John chapter 3. So, John has seen or heard this, but he's not seen a lot of miracles. He may have heard or seen some miracles, but he's not seen a lot yet. John chapter 3. That'll be important in a minute. Begin at verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put into prison. Okay, he's still out. All these other things had already happened. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John, and they said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." And John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ,' but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Notice the word change there to verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. We hear our friends say that a lot, don't we? Whoever believes. But the very next part, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. So you'd have both, belief and obedience. After this, Jesus leaves Judea for Galilee. Why? Let's find out. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. Again, remember all the things that John's saying. He's seen some things and heard some things about Jesus after baptizing him, after making the first testimony. But he's not seeing a lot, the majority of what Jesus has done. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Now when he had heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. So we know at some point here, John's been arrested. That's why Jesus leaves. That's why he goes to Galilee, withdraws. Mark chapter 1. Verse 14. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It is his time to take over. It's time to increase. Now John's time was to decrease. Luke chapter 3. Verse 19 and 20. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, and he locked up John in prison. John chapter 4. Begin at verse 1. And when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So again, this is why he left. So what all happens after this? Now, forget, John's in prison. What all does Jesus do while John's in prison? Does John have much communication with the outside? Well, we'll find out later he has to ask Jesus another question. Because he's not seeing these next things. Jesus goes to Jacob's well and is sicker. He arrives at Galilee. He preaches. He has his second miracle at Cana. He goes back to Capernaum. He officially calls these four fishermen to be his disciples. He heals a man of unclean spirit in the synagogue. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He preaches through Galilee. He heals a leper. He heals a paralytic in Capernaum. He calls Matthew. This time frame, he's doing these things and he called these people. It wasn't like he went up and got 12 apostles and boom, and it's over time. He heals on the Sabbath day. He defends the disciples who pluck grain on Sabbath. They're not called apostles, they're called disciples. He defends his disciples. He defends himself for healing a withered hand on the Sabbath day. He heals the multitudes beside the Sea of Galilee. And then he selects his 12 apostles. So these apostles, these disciples, have been following him this whole time and seeing these things that John wasn't seeing. So he can have some faith and believe who he was. He does more teaching. He heals a centurion servant. He raises a widow's son. And now we see John the Baptist, who's in prison, send word to ask, are you the one? Matthew chapter 11. Again, he's not been seeing this stuff. He's in prison. He saw a few things. You get verse 2. He's been hearing some things. We're told that verse 2. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, but again, he's not seen it firsthand, he sent word by his disciples and said to them, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? So John's still not sure. You think he would be. He had that sign. But he's not seeing all these things happen. Jesus answered him, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak up to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out and see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among these born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by our deeds. Luke chapter 7. Notice John's still alive. So it's been quite some time. It's not like he got put in prison and was killed the next day or the next week. Jesus did all this travel, all these works he did. Luke chapter 7, begin at verse 18. Disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent him to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? When the man had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we seek for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind. Why? So his servants can see him do that stuff and go and report back to John these things. Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. They saw it firsthand right then and there. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised up, and so forth. Verse 24, when John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John, as we read. What happened after this? At some point in time, we don't know when, after this, John is killed. We're not told when. Jesus' feet are anointed, journeys to Galilee. The Jews begin for the first time to accuse him. He reproves sign seekers, those who want signs, he reproves them. His mother and his brothers want to talk to him. He eats with the Pharisee. We have the parable of the fig tree. We have more parables. He stills the storm. He heals two more demons. He raises Jairus' daughter. He heals blind men and another with demon. He's rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. Then he instructs his 12 on what to do. And he sends them out. At some point in time, probably during this time, this is when Herod Antipas supposes Jesus to be John the Baptist. We'll read one quick one there. At some point in time, he's killed John. Because he hears these things that Jesus has been doing all these other signs. Matthew chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch had heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, This is John the Baptist. He's been raised from the dead. This is why his miraculous powers are working in him. For Herod had seized John, bound him, and put him in prison, and so forth, and had killed him. And he thought that this is what it was. At some point, this is when John's killed. After that, the apostles return, and Jesus goes to a desolate place after hearing about John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. Well, let's back up to verse 11. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Verse 13. Now when Jesus had heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. We won't read the other accounts, but Mark chapter 6 says the same thing. Luke chapter 9 says the same thing. John chapter 6 says the same thing. And after he goes to this desolate place, what's the next thing he does? All those books. That's the feeding of the 5,000. Okay. After that, he walks on water. He hears Peter's confession and so forth. So that's the timeline of John the Baptist. Any questions?